Message tonight, John chapter 4, if you'll go ahead and turn there, John chapter number 4. I've been burdened about this. I'll be honest with you, I did not want to preach this tonight. And to be 100% honest with you, I know y'all have a heart for missions, you have a heart for missionaries, hearts for church planning, got church down in Shelbyville. I know y'all have a heart for missions. I know you can't have a heart for missions without a heart for souls. I know that. I know you do. And so, Lord, I just want to try to encourage you tonight as I was, what I wanted to do. And I've been praying and studying all day today, trying to find what the Lord have us to preach to you tonight. And Lord, not allow me to get away from John chapter number 4. I know 100% this is what I'm supposed to be preaching here tonight. Can't get away from it. Whether my flesh likes it or not, that's where we're supposed to be tonight. So John chapter 4, I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses here. John chapter number 4. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. I know I'm not your pastor and don't even compare, but I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for coming and listening to me anyway. And I appreciate the opportunity. John chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is to say to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answers unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thine husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight at Victory Baptist Church. Lord, I pray you help in the service now. Lord, I pray you give me the words to say that I need to say. I pray you guard my mind and my heart and my thoughts, Lord. Lord, I pray you will be done this service. Lord, I pray you remove the distractions tonight and help us to focus on your word. Lord, help my tongue, Lord, get out what we need to get out. Lord, I pray your will be done here in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, my flesh tonight does not want to preach this to you. It's not a very fun an exciting message. I try my best to get away from it, to be honest with you. But I know it's where we are to be. My heart personally has been so burdened lately for personal missions. I've been convicted about it very much here lately. Missions isn't just for Cordova, Alaska. It's not just for across the seas. Missions is for wherever you are right now. For right now, it's Greenfield, Indiana. Missions is here. Whatever town this technically is, I guess. I believe we can all agree. I believe we're short on time. We can talk about news. I don't think everything that's going on, we can agree. Lord's coming back. I believe any minute now. Any day now, I believe he's coming back. And our preacher's been saying that for a long time. But it's closer now than ever has been before. Lord's coming back. I believe we can all agree on that. I believe if we're going to get anything done for the Lord, we better do it quickly. Our nation today, is not in a very good state. Physically, financially, most importantly, spiritually, it's in a very bad state of affairs. We can all agree on that too. I'm thankful God's had mercy on us, but I believe we probably deserve a whole lot worse than what we have right now. We're in a bad state of affairs. I believe, personally, the responsibility of that largely lies in our hands. In my hands. The current condition of our country is because they don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our politicians, most of them are dying, going to hell because they don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's our fault. And I've been convicted about this thing for months now. I can't get away from it. Try my best to get away from it. I can't get away from it. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. What's going to fix the United States? What's going to fix the world right now? This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can fix it. Ask you another question. What have you done personally to fix it? If the gospel is the only thing that's going to fix it, and we have the gospel, we know what the gospel is, the Lord's allowed us to be in a church like this that preaches the gospel, what have you done about getting it out? I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I know I'm preaching to people who love missions, and you can't love missions, you don't love souls, and I understand that. This is where I'm at tonight, and I can't get away from it. The condition of our world today is because they don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's my fault. The lady down at the bank here in town, do you know where she's going to spend eternity? Or by the grocery store or wherever, anywhere. Do you know where she's going to spend eternity? Have you asked her? Have you given the gospel? Have you given a gospel tract? This message is not very fun and entertaining, like I said. It's convicting to me. I didn't want to do it, but I've had this on my heart for some time now, and I know without a doubt it's what I'm supposed to be preaching tonight. Lord, I'm going to try my best to preach on this thought, the urgency of missions. Missions isn't just urgent across the seas, and it's not just urgent in Cordova, Alaska. It's urgent in Greenfield, Indiana. I'm going to walk through this passage here just a little bit tonight. Look at this Samaritan woman and her condition and her salvation and then her commission. And we step back, look at the disciples and look at their salvation and their condition, their salvation, their commission. These Samaritans are not a very desirable people, at least from the Jews' point of view. They were considered unclean people by the Jews of that day. The Samaritans claimed to be descendants of the Jews. They claimed to be part of the same family. They disagree on very few things, really. But the Jews hated the Samaritans because they're bred with they're part of a different group of people. These Samaritans and the Jews, they followed much of the same law, much of the same religion. But the Jews hated, absolutely hated the Samaritans, considered unclean people. So the Jews avoided Samaria at all costs. You look at a map in the Middle East, or you have, at least in Bible times, the names of the towns are there anyway. You have Galilee, then you have Samaria, then you have Judea or Jerusalem here at the bottom. The Jews of that day would... And you had the Jordan River along the eastern side of all three of those countries. They would cross the Jordan River, go all the way around Samaria, cross the Jordan River again just to get to Galilee, just to avoid coming in contact with Samaritans. The Jews hated the Samaritans with a passion. A Jewish man, if he crossed a Samaritan woman, if he spoke with that woman, he considered himself to be defiled, had to be ceremonially cleansed just to get back into the service of the law there. So Jesus, in the beginning of this passage, Jesus being a Jew, he's leaving Jerusalem. A normal Jew leaving Jerusalem will cross the Jordan River and go all the way north, cross the Jordan River again to get into Galilee. Jesus says in verse number 3 and 4, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why must he needs go through Samaria? Well, it's the shortest route, but it's not the normal route to take. He was probably the only Jewish man passing by that way in quite some time. This is not the normal way to go. But he says he must needs pass through Samaria, not because of direction, but because of a woman at the well. And we understand that. I'm going to look at this Samaritan woman here and try to show you that we are a lot more similar to her than we might care to admit. We have a lot in common with this woman, or we have a lot in common with these disciples as well. We'll look at those in a few minutes. Number one, we see a Samaritan. We see her condition. Her condition and her state in society. She's not in a very good, not in a very good state in society. Verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith her, give me to drink. This Samaritan woman, she was drawing water at midday. It says there about sixth hour. That would be noon. About the middle of the day here, that's when she's drawing water. From what I've heard, understand that midday is a strange time of day for a Samaritan woman to be out drawing water, from what I can understand. I'm not very smart. I understand their culture. But from what I can read, midday is not the normal time for a Samaritan or any woman to be out drawing water from the well in that part of the world. Midday is the hardest part of the day. Midday is not the day, not the time of day when anybody wants to be out doing any sort of heavy labor. But yet we find the Samaritan woman at the well drawing water at midday. Drawing water is also not something of a Samaritan, any woman in that day and age would do by herself. Normally, it'd be a group of ladies from the community coming out to draw water together and carry it back to the city. However, we find the Samaritan woman by herself at midday drawing water. Very strange position she's in. It's not a normal time to be doing this. Her condition is, from what we see here, she's an outcast. She's not popular. She has nobody drawing water with her. She's going when she knows nobody else will be there at the well. That's when she decides to go. She's a nobody. From her sin, we'll see in just a few minutes, she probably has plenty of gossip going on around town about her. She's a nobody by herself, drawing water alone at midday. And then she meets Jesus. We're going to jump around a little bit in this passage, but we will come back to these verses. I'm going to skip over a few here. We see her state in society, and then we see her state in sin. Verse number 16. Jesus said unto her, go call thine husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. She's a nobody from nowhere, Samaria, living a life full of sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We understand death, and we understand after death comes heaven or hell, and this woman living a life of sin, she's headed to hell. She's a nobody from nowhere, living a life full of nothing good, headed for death and hell. Have you ever been there before? A nobody from nowhere headed up to a place called hell. Maybe you were not an outcast. Maybe you never have been an outcast. Maybe you were popular with this world. I don't know your testimony, but if you were honest and if you're safe tonight, you can say you were indeed, at one point or another, a nobody headed for hell at some point or another. If you can't say that, you're probably still that way tonight. Have you ever been saved? If we could just realize who we are and where we would be without Jesus. If we could remember where we once were, just a nobody headed for death and hell, you could find a lot more compassion for those that are still nobodies headed for death and hell. I think a lot of times it's very easy for us to forget about where we've come from or where we could be without Jesus. God's blessed us so much, and God's blessed me way more than I deserve. I'm born to a Christian home. I'm very thankful for that. I don't have a testimony. A lot of people, I'm very thankful for that. Lord's protected me and guarded me. I'm very thankful for the life Lord's blessed me with. But if it weren't for God's grace, I'd still be a lost religious person sitting in the pew headed for the same hell everybody else is headed to without Him. I'm just a nobody, just the same as she is. I may not have been living a life full of sin. I haven't been married five times. I haven't married to any men, thankfully. I haven't married to five men like her. Thank goodness, but I was headed for the same hell she was. If you're going to do anything for God, anything about getting the gospel out, you're going to have to remember who you were and who you could be without Him. And look back and remember your state in sin. Maybe you were the drunk on the street. I don't know. Maybe you weren't. Maybe you just lost on the pew. We're all headed for the same place without Him. And we know that. If you're saved tonight, you know that. You know that you don't understand the gospel. We know that. If you realize where you could be without Him, you'd be interested in who they could be with Him. What about you tonight? What's your condition? Samaritan woman, she's an outcast from society. She's an outcast because of sin. She's headed for hell because of sin. She's nobody lost, headed for hell. What about you tonight? If you died right now, do you know for sure where you go? You have peace about that tonight. If you don't know that, the rest of this message is not going to mean very much to you. Are you saved tonight? Romans 6:23, I read part of it earlier. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life of Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Samaritan or a Gentile dog like I am. What's your condition tonight? Samaritan woman, she's not very good. She's nobody from nowhere, Samaria, living a life full of sin, headed for death and hell when Jesus found her. We see her condition. We see her salvation. We see her desire. Verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saying there, give me to drink. Jesus has walked all this way from Jerusalem here to Shechem and Samaria. His physical body is tired. Disciples have gone into the city to buy meat, the Bible says. Jesus sits down on the edge of the well. This Samaritan woman shows up and he starts the conversation. He says, give me to drink. Jesus always starts the conversation. I still believe in old time conviction. Do you remember when you first pricked your heart and said, hey, give me to drink? You remember he pricked your heart and let you know you were lost and on your way to hell. You remember where when he did that? Verse number 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is to say unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. First Jesus asked her for a drink. Now he's saying, if you knew what I could do for you, you'd be the one asking me. She's confused. Obviously, we see that here. She thinks she's talking about literal water. She argues some back and forth with him. She says, you don't have anything to draw with. How are you going to get any water? She basically says, who do you think you are? Verse number 12. Art thou better than Jacob our father? She says. And Jesus responds to her, verse number 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now we're getting somewhere here with this woman. She's starting to desire this thing here that Jesus has, this living water. She may not know exactly what it is just yet, but notice the next verse, verse 15. The woman saith to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. We see her desire. She just wanted what Jesus had. You remember when you just wanted whatever it was that Jesus had? You had the desire to do whatever he had for you to do. You had the desire to follow him and do what he'd have. You had the desire to follow his commandments. What are you striving after now? What are you trying to get? What are you falling after tonight? This woman here, finally, she just wanted what Jesus has. She didn't know everything about it just yet. She just wanted what Jesus was talking about having. Jesus says, okay, I can work with that. It begins to reveal to her the real reason for her thirst. She has a life full of sin and need of a Savior. He begins to show that to her. See her realization of her sin in verse number 16. Jesus said there, go call thy husband and come hither. And I've already read the rest of those verses there, but Jesus points out to her state in sin. He points it out to her. She wants that living water. She doesn't even know what he's talking about yet. She's talking about actual water, but she knows that she wants what Jesus has. And he says, okay, but first you have to know why you need it. He begins to reveal her sin to her. Friend, have you ever truly realized your state in sin? Have you ever realized that you are a sinner? And without him, you're headed for death and hell. Have you ever come to that realization? That's what Jesus is pointing out here to her. You have to understand that first. You can't get saved till you get lost. If you can get somebody lost and realize where they're at, it's much easier to see them get saved. You have to get lost first. Jesus begins to reveal to her how he knows all about her marriage problems and her sin. In verse number 19, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I love that verse. She just surprised. She says, you know things you ought not know. I perceive that thou art a prophet. She realizes there's something different about Jesus. And then verse number 20. She begins to argue with him. Jesus points out to her sin to her, and she gets very religious. That's what most people usually do. Verse 20. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus speaks to her. She desires what he has. He reveals her sin to her. She accepts that it's sin. She didn't argue about it. She accepts that it is sin. He tears down her false beliefs, her religion. She's looking for the Christ. And then he reveals himself to her. I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the Savior you've been waiting for. I'm the one. You see the plan of salvation right here in this passage. You have to desire what Jesus has. You have to realize your lost state in sin. You have to realize your only hope is Jesus Christ. And then believe in who he is. And then suddenly we have an interruption. Verse 27. It says, and upon this came his disciples. Right, this crucial moment, right, the right time, this crucial moment, there's a distraction. It never fails. God's at work in the heart. The devil's going to do all he can to throw every distraction in the way. Every time you try to get somebody to come to church, the devil's going to do everything he can to throw every distraction in the way. Every time the Lord's at work and convicting, the devil's going to do all he can in service to put every distraction he can in the way. And that's what happened here. Thankfully, at this point, we see it didn't matter at this point. The truth had already taken root. Just the next couple of verses down, she's off telling others that he is the Christ. Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, she says later on. She believed in Jesus. I believe she got saved right here in this passage. Now, has it ever happened to you? I know I keep going back to that. I know we're Wednesday night here. I understand that. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever fell under old-time Holy Ghost conviction? Has he ever revealed your sin to you? Have you ever realized your hopeless state in sin? Have you ever trusted in the finished work on Calvary? Are you saved tonight? If not, get that settled first, and then we can move on. Don't go to a church like this, have a preacher preach the gospel to you like this, and sit on the pew, and send missionaries to the foreign field, and die and go to hell. Are you saved tonight? Don't let your pride get in the way. Are you saved? We see her salvation. She came to a realization of who she was and who he was and what he could do for her. She got saved. We see her commission, verse number 28. After you're saved, the job's not over. The job's just starting. Verse 28. Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. She left her water pot. Why? Now she has a lot bigger job to do. Now she's full of this living water and has to come out somewhere. She came out to draw water. Now she has a well springing up inside of her, spring up so much that she has to go back and tell everybody else she can about it. Disciples show up. She turns and runs back to town. What men did she tell? There's a lot of discussion on who these men were that she told. If the Lord wants to know, he would have told us here in this passage, but he didn't. So she went back and told some men what he had done for her. Maybe she didn't have a college degree. She hadn't been to Bible college yet. She hadn't even started discipleship classes yet at this point. But she knew she could tell everybody else about what he did for her. There's a few chapters down in John chapter 9, that blind man, Jesus heals him. He says, this one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I can tell you a whole lot of things about who this Jesus is, what all he can do, and exactly everything about him. But I can tell you one thing, I was blind before, and now I'm not. This woman goes back to town. She can't tell him everything about who Jesus is. But she says, come see a man who's told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You don't have to go to Bible college for 4 years, and you don't have to attend church for 20 years to then decide to start telling other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you saved tonight? That's the only requirement. It's time we get busy. She immediately goes and tells somebody else. We see her commission. Jesus doesn't even give her the great commission. He doesn't tell her anything. She just turns around and has to go tell somebody else. Why? Because there's a well of water living inside of her that has to come out somewhere. Your flesh is going to fight you tooth and nail to give the gospel. But if something as big as God moves in, sooner or later something's going to have to come out on the outside. Your flesh ain't going to like it. Just to let you know. A little warning. This is Samaritan. Her condition, she was an outcast, a nobody, headed for death and hell. See her salvation, she got saved. See her commission, she's off telling everybody else she can about who Jesus is and what he can do for them. The Samaritan. Let me see the disciples in this passage. What is their condition? What is the spiritual condition of these disciples? Well, they're Jesus' disciples. They've all been handpicked out by God the Father, chosen by God, to be the closest 12 that would travel with Jesus and sometimes perform miracles themselves and get to be up close and personal with Jesus Christ while he's here on earth. I believe all except for one, Judas, that's a whole other discussion. I believe they're all saved. We see their fruit now. We can look back and see their fruit. And Judas has some rotten fruit. We understand that. So I believe these men, 11 of them anyway, I believe are good men, saved men. I believe these men loved the Lord. I believe they loved Jesus. I believe they believed in who Jesus was. I believe they knew he was the Son of God. They might have not known everything, and they had questions many times here in the Scripture and the Gospels about what Jesus was going to do and what he has done and why he's doing it. They didn't quite know all the details, but from the fruit we can see, they had faith in who Jesus was. These are good men, good and faithful men, men that any pastor would love to have. Always hard workers right there with Jesus. They had questions at times, of course, but they were faithful to him. We see their condition. The Samaritan woman, from our standards, she had a very bad condition. The disciples, from our standards, they were literally handpicked out by God to follow Jesus around and minister to Jesus while he's here on earth. In a pretty good condition from our point of view. We don't have all their salvations recorded in the Bible. We can see a little bit of when Jesus called them to be his disciples there, beginning of the Gospel of John. And some were already John's disciples at that point. And I'm not going to get all that now, but just bear with me and understand that these men would be a picture of some good church members. Maybe even deacons. These are some good men with Jesus. Their conditions, from our eyes, very good condition. What are they doing in this passage? It tells us in verse number 8. First disciples are gone away to the city to buy meat. What are they doing? They're busy doing their job. Their job is to care for the earthly body of Jesus and to follow him around in his ministry and care for him and help work with him. They are caring for Jesus. They're going to see, of course, they're hungry themselves. I'm sure they're going to buy meat, and they come out later on trying to feed Jesus. They're doing their jobs. They're going to the city to buy meat. They're not, as far as we know, they're not out doing any wicked thing. They're, in fact, doing what they are supposed to be doing. They're going to buy meat. It's safe to say that Jesus was hungry. Here's thirst in his passage. I'm sure he's hungry as well. They're caring for him. Jesus never does any miracles for himself as far as his fleshly body. He feels hungry. He feels thirst just like all of us would have. We see they're gone during this entire encounter. And they come back at the worst of times, verse 27. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? They are confused. They marvel that Jesus even spoke to the Samaritan woman. It's very likely this meant these disciples passed by her on their way into town. They're headed into town, and the woman comes out to the well where Jesus is. Probably passed by her on the way into town. And probably like any other Jew, they probably passed by on the as far away as they could on the opposite side of the road and not speak a word to her. They marveled. They were surprised that Jesus even spoke a word to this woman. But he did. They didn't say a word about it. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know none of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said to him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What are they doing? Absolutely nothing wrong that I can find. They're caring for Jesus. They had some bad timing, yes. They're caring for Jesus. They're doing a good work. But Jesus here in this passage is teaching them some things. Although it may be a good work, it's not the only work. It's not the best work to be done. He says something very profound. My meat is through the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We have a picture of this in one of the Messianic Psalms. Psalms 40, verse number 8. He says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within mine heart. It's a picture of Jesus here in the psalm, prophetic picture of him. Jesus says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And John, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You want to find something that's fulfilling? It was for Jesus. It will be for you. It's being in the center of God's will and doing what God has told you to do. Jesus says, this, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He says, I'm fulfilled just doing what my Father has told me to do. And he has the same flesh me and you have. He didn't want anything to eat. He's fulfilled doing what God the Father told him to do. There's nothing in the world like doing what the Lord would have you to do. Nothing that compares. These disciples are doing a good work. But friend, there's a better work to be doing at the same time. They're not doing anything wrong. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, caring for Jesus. But there's a whole lot more to be doing to do at the same time. I don't know what your job here at the church is. Maybe it's mowing grass. And whoever does that, you do a good job. I've been walking around somebody, there's a lot of wet ground out there. And good luck to whoever mows the grass. You're going to be stuck, I promise you. We'll walk around a little bit today. Whoever does mows the grass, you do a good job. That's a good work to do. It needs to be done. The house of God ought to look good. It needs to be done. Maybe it's taking out the trash. That has to be done. Maybe it's cleaning the bathrooms. No visitor wants to come into a dirty bathroom in the house of God. Those things have to be done. Those are good works. Somebody has to do it. But don't neglect the great work while you're doing the good work. We see the disciples' condition. We see their salvation. I believe they're saved. We see their commission. Jesus says, there's a whole lot more to this thing than just buying meat and feeding me. There's a whole lot more to this thing than just being faithful to church. And that's you ought to be faithful to church. Please don't understand me. You need to be faithful to the house of God and faithful to your pastor and be here day in and whenever the doors are open. Be part of the house of God. Be part of the church. The Bible tells you to. God tells you, the Lord, the preacher's going to tell you to do that. You ought to do that. There's a whole lot bigger work to be doing at the same time. You see their commission, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap there that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. Here's really the whole point I've been trying to get to here. These verses here, in particular verse number 35. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The time of harvest is now, the Bible says. If it was now then for those disciples, you better believe it's now. Now we better hurry up and get something done for the Lord before we run out of time. We can talk about prophecy and all these things going on right now, and Russia coming to power, and all everything going on. Those are exciting things for the Christian. The Lord's coming back. I don't know about you, but I want to have some fruit for my account when the Lord comes back. I want to have some crowns to throw back at His feet when He comes back. If I'm going to do that, I better get to work doing what He's told me to do. The time of harvest. Now, a friend of mine, and you know him very well, Brother Samuel Freed, he says this: we may have 4 more months. They might not. Maybe you can push it off. Maybe you can neglect to give the gospel to that lady down at the bank, or the lady at the grocery store, or the man, whoever it is. Maybe I'll tell them next time. Maybe you have 4 more months. Maybe they don't. There was a time when missionaries could freely go to Ukraine. Right now, that time's gone. Missionaries are trying to save their families and get out of the country the best they can. Whatever we're going to do for the Lord, we better do it now. Condition of our country is not very good, and we can talk about all that and the future of that and fighting for freedom, all those things. We can talk about all those things, and I'm right there with you. We have an opportunity right now to spread the gospel freely in public. I don't know how long we're going to have that opportunity. We better get busy. We might have 4 more months. We may be able to hide away in our houses and our churches and hide away till the Lord comes back, and he may come back before the 4 months is up. But they might not have any more time. There are folks in Alaska. A man a few weeks ago committed suicide. And I talked about it before, I think. Suicide's a huge problem there in Alaska. A man's killed a couple weeks in Cordova, committed suicide. Probably, most likely died and went to hell. People there need the gospel. They need it now. We got to go. The people in Greenfield and Shelbyville and wherever else, towns around here, whatever, Indianapolis, they're dying and going to hell here too. Going to church, you ought to be in the house of God. And cleaning the floors, you ought to be in the house of God. Cleaning the floors, you ought to be mowing the grass. You ought to be taking care of your pastor. And thank you for supporting missions. Don't neglect the souls here in town. You may not get to do a whole lot of reaping. Maybe just do a whole lot of sowing. But Jesus says, those that reap and those that sow and those that reap, they rejoice together. Both of them get the reward in heaven. Just be busy about the Lord's. Don't worry about the harvest. Let Him handle the reaping. Let Him handle the reaping. Just worry about the sowing and let Him handle the rest of it. You just give them the gospel and let the Lord work in their hearts. Is everybody going to be saved? No, I wish they would. No, they won't all be saved, but some will. We may have 4 more months, but your neighbor might not. Disciples are doing a lot of good work here, caring for the flesh of Jesus while He's here, doing their jobs, caring for Him. But they're walking on past the Samaritan woman on the way to do the work. Don't neglect the work of getting the gospel out while you're doing the good work of everything else. It's very easy to forget about it. Giving to missions, that's a good work. And thank you for giving to missions. But going and spreading the gospel seed yourself is the best thing you ever could do. You might have time. You may have 4 more months. But they might not. Who's going to be a missionary here? The Lord's called my family to Cordova, Alaska. But He's called every saved person to be a missionary wherever you're at. Who's going to be a missionary to your neighbor? A missionary to your family? Whoever it is. That Samaritan woman, verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them. And He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. And suddenly the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves and know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And after 2 days He departed thence and went into Galilee. Many more believed because of her. But then verse 41, many believed to him because of him. She got it started, but I believe a revival broke out in that town in Samaria. People were saved just simply because of the word of God. You say, well, that can't happen in our day, preacher. It's a different day we live in. I understand we're a lot different today than they were then. But these Samaritans, they are an outcast people. There's a whole lot of outcast people in our society today. There are no miracles performed in this passage that we can read about. No miracles. We can't do miracles. They didn't use any miracles in this passage. What did they do? They spoke. The truth was spoken. Seeds were planted. And then God gave the increase. The revival broke out in Samaria. Why? Because they believed the word of God. God said it and they believed it. We have the word of God. We have the gospel. The same gospel he was preaching to her. We have it here today. We have the answer. So my question for you tonight is, which one of these are you? Are you a Samaritan woman? Are you lost and headed for hell? Have you ever been saved? Or are you the disciples? Maybe you are saved. Maybe you're busy doing as much as you can for the Lord. You're trying your best to be faithful and be busy about the Lord's work. But how easy it is to neglect the best work we ever could be doing. I'm not pointing fingers tonight. I'm pointing fingers at myself tonight. How easy is it to forget about giving the gospel? When's the last time you had a burden to tell somebody else the truth of the gospel? When's the last time? Most churches we go to, they have a nice big track rack at the back. Sadly, most Baptist churches we go to, it's more of a decoration than anything else. They don't have to get refilled very often. Now, maybe I believe I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, but I can't get away from this thought. Well, I don't know who to give it to, preacher. And give it to everybody you can. You're not going to get to the judgment seat of Christ, and God's not going to look at you and say, well, why'd you waste your time giving the gospel to so-and-so? That's not how this thing works. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's for everybody. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. Give the gospel to everybody you can. Well, I don't know what to tell him. And tell him what he did for you. Tell them how Jesus saved your soul and how he changed your life and how he's been so good to you. Tell them what he's done for you. This preacher, I don't have anything like that to tell. Well, then get saved yourself and then go tell somebody else about it. What's the point of all this? What's the point? The gospel still works. Even in our day today, when abortion is common, we're killing our babies in the street and sodomy is all around us and wicked abominations before God are all around us. And the world seems to be coming in whatever's going on now in the overseas and Russia, all this stuff going on. The gospel still works. The gospel isn't dependent on our economy or dependent on what's going on in the world today. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant. Say not ye, they're yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. A couple years after this takes place, the Jews are literally going to murder the Son of God. They're in a pretty bad condition spiritually. Our nation is in a pretty bad condition spiritually. When Jesus lifted his eyes and looked in the fields, for they were white already to harvest. If the fields are white already to harvest when they're about to murder the Son of God, you better believe we better get busy about the Lord's work. There is white already to harvest. We're running out of time. We better get busy. Yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. What are you going to do about the gospel? Say, preacher, I'm saved. Good. Or preacher, I attend church. Good. What are you going to do personally about getting the gospel out? It ain't just the preacher's job. It ain't just the deacon's job or the missionary's job. The Bible says, go ye. It's just as much your responsibility as it's mine. And it's just as much mine as it is yours. I better get busy. You sang that song as a kid. I don't know if y'all sing that Indiana or not. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How did Aaron Bushel know I'm going to let it shine? It's easy to sing as a kid. It's a whole lot harder to live as an adult. I challenge you. Get you a pocket full of tracks at the back. If you got some, you don't have some, we'll find you some. Don't get so caught up in the good works, what you're doing. You forget to neglect the best work. Friend, we got to get busy. Lord's coming back. That's exciting. That's a good thing for the Christian. The Lord's coming back soon. I don't know about you, but I want to have some fruit to my account when he gets here. So we're thinking of his day. Thank you for all you've done for us. So thank you for allowing us to be here at this church tonight. Lord, thank you for helping me, Lord, and preaching to me. Lord, I pray you help us this week. Help us to do something for you. Get something done for you for the gospel's sake. Lord, I pray you use us here. Use this church in Jesus' name.